I want to look at one scripture. It's actually not even a whole verse. It's just a piece of a verse. Genesis 1:26. You know, it's kind of weird that I'm speaking today. Mike has this tendency to ask people, he doesn't really observe the holidays, because on Father's Day, my wife spoke, and she's not a father, or probably will never be, more than likely will never be. This is the 4th of July weekend, and I'm not an American citizen. I may be the only one here who's not. Maybe Aaron isn't either. Okay, there we go. We got a couple. But it is likely that I will one day be an American citizen. So at least that's better than the Father's Day. Okay. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." I just want to expound on this verse just a little bit. This verse could be turned into a book. There are a couple things you can learn just from this verse. Yeah? Yeah, okay. Yeah, a whole book could be written. Yeah. Books, in fact. What can we gather just from this verse? Let's say the entire Bible was destroyed. We had no Bible left, but someone found one piece of a page and just had these words on it. What can we deduce? And we're going to start, you know, we don't know anything. We're just going to start. Okay. First thing, anyone? First, anyone want us? Just one thing we can conclude. God said, okay, from that we conclude there is a God and he speaks. He's maybe a plural God, perhaps. And he makes, who said make? He creates, he makes, so there's a God, he speaks, he creates. How does he create? With his words. He creates with his words. All right, great, perfect. What else? Next. What else can we conclude? He made us. He wants us to be like him. So he made man with his words by speaking it. And he made us to be like him. Therefore, we are and we can speak and we can create. Because that's all we know from this verse is that God can speak and he can create. And he's kind of multifaceted. And he created us to be like him. But the ways in which we're like him are, one of the ways is that we can speak and we can create with our language. The book of Genesis is full of examples where they are aware of this, where the blessing is passed on from father to son, and it's just known, it's just assumed that when the father says to the son, you know, this is the way it's going to be, your descendants are going to be this way, you know, that's the way it is, that's the way it is going to be. And we've kind of lost that a little bit, I think. But what we want to do here in this church, we want to create an environment and a culture where we can speak and create things in each other's lives and in our own lives. And we can bless each other with the blessings that we get from God. To illustrate this, I have a couple of video clips from a movie. This is actually one of my favorite movies. This is one of the most incredible movies I've ever seen. Can anyone guess? Yes. Good guess. Good guess. The Incredibles. Yeah. Yeah. Huh? Is it coming out? Oh, should be. Hope so. I think one of the reasons that we, as Philippa said, we struggle with these recurring temptations and things that we go places we shouldn't go, say things we shouldn't say, is that we haven't really been blessed. And here's my definition of blessed, is being told what our destiny really is as God sees it, and who we really are as God sees us. And this family in this movie, if you've never seen it, is struggling with the same thing. Can we see the first clip? This is them around the dinner table. Well, anyway, they start arguing. The kids start misbehaving. They start fighting. And the mom grabs them and she calls the dad in, and there's arguing, and anyway. Why is all that happening? All that is happening because they're trying to pretend to be something they're not. They're trying to pretend to be a normal family. They're trying to fit into society, and that's not who they are. It's not who they are. And the frustration of that, of not being able to express who they really are and who they're destined to be, leads them to just all this conflict. In that case, let me just describe the rest of the movie. We won't want to show any more clips from that. The husband, Mr. Incredible, gets solicited by this, turns out to be a bad guy, to do some hero work on the side. And it totally changes his attitude. He becomes happy. He starts working out. He feels great. He's getting paid. He's buying like a new car. A little bit of a midlife crisis, but he's happy. Their marriage is going well. Their relationship. The wife notices this difference, but she doesn't suspect anything. Then later she comes to find out that he has been lying to her. Because he left his job to do this hero work. And she's distraught. She starts crying. She's actually, when she finds out, she's talking to a lady named Edna, who is the fashion designer who designs their superhero outfits. And she starts crying and saying, "Oh, my, how could I not have seen this coming? I can't believe this has been happening. What am I going to do? My marriage is over." She's having a crisis, and she feels helpless. And Edna jumps up on the table, walks over to her, and slaps her on the head and says, "What do you mean, what are you going to do? Is that even a question? You're Elastic Girl. You're going to remind him that he's Mr. Incredible, and you're going to remind him who you are. And you're going to fight, and you're going to win." And and then she comes to her senses and says, "Oh, okay." She gets his plane. She is going to go to the island to try to rescue him. And this is the part where I always get very emotional when I'm watching the movie. I always end up crying when I'm watching this movie. She's in the plane. The plane gets shot down. They almost die. She has the kids with her, which she didn't realize. The kids snuck aboard the plane. And now they're on the island. The bad guys are out to get him. And, she's about to leave to go to find her husband. She leaves the kids in a cave, and she says, "Listen, kids. If the bad guys come after you, you have to use your powers." And the kids say, "But you told us never to use our powers. We're supposed to keep that secret." And she says, "Yeah, I know. But these bad guys are not like the bad guys you watch on Saturday morning cartoons. They won't show restraint. because you're children. They will kill you. And if anything happens, you must use your powers. And they're a little confused, but they say, okay. And then the girl, Violet, tries to apologize and say, Mom, when we're on the plane and you asked me to make a force field, I was just, you know, I'm sorry, I couldn't do it. And the mom looks at her and says, that's okay. I know it was unfair of me to ask you to do that for the first time in this situation. Anyway, she goes, she meets up with her husband, and the kids get attacked by the bad guys, and they have to run, you know, they have to use their powers. She becomes invisible, the little boy runs, they end up beating up the bad guys. They start doing things together as a family. That they didn't even know that it could do. Their powers, turns out, work in, like, complement. The powers complement each other. There's a scene where Violet creates his force field, and the little son is inside the force field. He starts running, and the combination of those two, they create this big vehicle, unstoppable vehicle of force field. Which that was what they were meant to do. But they didn't know that because they were not living up to their destiny and their potential. And let's see. Is that it? That's basically it. My favorite scene, the whole family eventually comes together and they start fighting and they're all wearing their uniforms and they start beating up bad guys. And it's awesome. It's awesome. Because that's who they're meant to be. And it took Edna, you know, slapping Elastigirl, Helen, on the head and saying, listen, you've forgotten who you're supposed to be, and it's time to wake up. To me, that's an example. That's maybe not exactly what blessing is, but it's an example of something very close. It's seeing in a person what their destiny is and calling it forth. Okay. There's one more clip I want to show. You think I can get audio on the YouTube clip? Okay. All right, go ahead and roll it.
Me fully see one that the blood in the church hall. Can't forget about my friends in the dance hall. Giant love me have a great peace of mind. And not this me want me dance, I'll bring them to find. Me go fast and pray, go fast and pray. Till Christ that I me friend them fine. Stitchy I go fast and pray, go fast and pray. Until the devil get me behind. Me fast and pray, go fast and pray. Till Christ that I me friend them fine. Stitchy I go fast and pray, go fast and pray. Until the devil get thee behind. Awesome, powerful and great mighty Father. Save, protect and bless bounty killer. God your blessing with the voice of a warrior. And me want him plead the blood against Lucifer. Faithful, righteous, holy one. Good. In the name of Jesus Christ.
All right, let me give you a little background. Yeah, I'm going to translate a little bit, yeah. Give a little background. The church culture in Jamaica tends to be have a religiousness about it, and there's a little bit of a conflict between the church culture and the music industry in Jamaica, the local music industry. Kind of like, these guys are kind of like the Jamaican version of rappers or hip-hop artists. One of the guys, one of the artists who was very popular in Jamaica named Lieutenant Stitchy got saved and came to the church. And this is one of the songs he created about maybe 5 years ago. It's called Fast and Pray. And the he starts off the song saying, basically, now you've called me to minister in the church hall, but I can't forget about my friends in the dance hall, meaning his friends who are also artists in the industry, and the fact that they're not saved. So the whole song is a prayer for them that they would also get saved. There's one particular, the first one he prays for, shows up near the end of that clip. His name is Bounty Killer. Bounty Killer. The reason he's called Bounty Killer is because he sings, if to use that term loosely, he sings about guns and violence and killing. And because of that, he's maligned in the Christian circles as being, the worst influence on our society. Bounty Killer is, you know, the example of how bad this industry is and how bad this music is. All the violence in his songs. And that's a typical attitude of the church towards these people. But in the song, he actually gets Bounty Killer to appear in his music video, as you saw, and he had his hand on his head. And the words that he was saying are, "Awesome, powerful, and great mighty Father, save, protect, and bless Bounty Killer. Because you blessed him with the voice of a warrior, and you want him to plead the blood against Lucifer." It's as if he saw that the reason Bounty Killer sang about violence and guns is because his original destiny that God created him for was to be a spiritual warrior. And again, that's not exactly what blessing is in biblical sense, but it's very parallel. It's being able to see even the worst things in people and see what the original intent that God created them for. And it just got me to thinking about sometimes, not necessarily in this local church, but in the church at large, we tend to say bad things about our leaders, about celebrities, about our president. We've said bad things about, for example, J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter series. But what did God really create her to do? I mean, we can see those things in her and we can bless them and call them forth. Even the most almost shudder to mention people like this from the podium, but even the most people who would write off completely as being having no positive influence on society, having no morals, just think about how God sees them. Has he given up on them? One of the names that comes to mind, Hugh Hefner. You'd never hear anyone praying for Hugh Hefner in a church, right? I mean, but the things he's done have been incredible. The influence he's had on society, maybe for the negative, has been amazing. Um, Anyway, so I want to keep it kind of short today because I want to open up a little bit of time of ministry where to get into the habit, you know, I want to make this a part of our culture as a church. We want to maybe do it a little bit where we can maybe bless each other. And I'm going to ask in a little bit, I'm going to ask people who, different groups of people maybe. The first one would be the people who feel like they never have been blessed in that way where their destiny has been called forth by a father figure or a parent. I'm going to ask Rhett, who I believe is gifted in that area, to be able to call things forth in people as he's done, you know, his children, and I'll ask him to come up and help there also. But and then we're going to do some blessing. We're not. It's not going to be like prophetic words. Prophetic words will be like, you know, I got a picture of a flower, a lily, you know, that kind of thing. Or these are going to be blessings. They're going to start with, may God grant you such and such. May your children be such and such. May your life be so and so. Those are how, that's the wording that we're going to use. I'm going to kind of, depending on how many people we have ministering versus receiving ministry, we might have to, figure it out. But just a couple of examples. One of the things I drew over here, I'll just turn it around so you can see. I don't know if you can see that, but basically there's one large star. To me, that represents God. And there are these bunch of small stars, which I see as the people here. But most of you aren't aware of how much of a star you are, how much of a celebrity you are in the kingdom, of the amount of light that you emit. When I look around, I just see all this light, this love. It's just great things being emitted from people. And it's truly an honor for me to be in fellowship with you guys. Corey Orand, for example, is an incredible man of God who I believe one of his giftings is timing. He knows when to do something. And I believe, I told him this before, I believe he has more natural spiritual giftings than anyone else in the Orand family. And Corey, may your life change the world. May your children be great and prosperous. May people know Corey Orand as a guy who walked with God. May the culture of America change because of you. May any religious spirit in this church, but also in the general church, be banished because of your lack of religious spirit. There are some awesome people here. I love watching Charlie and Opie. Awesome couple. It's a privilege. When I go play poker with these guys, this is a privilege to be there. Sometimes I lose all my money. And then I don't want to leave. And so I keep throwing money back in there so I can just stay longer just to hang out with these guys. These guys are awesome. I prayed for, during the ministry time, I prayed for Adam and Randa. And as I was praying, God just kept showing me how much esteem he has for them. And how much he doesn't care about any flaws or imperfections, because he just thinks so, so highly of them. We had this dream class, and there was some dream, and Adam, you know, started interpreting dreams, and I was like, whoa, I didn't know that guy was so gifted. But they're awesome. May your lives show forth the glory of God. May you guys become famous for how much you just receive and accept God's love and forgiveness and, you know, just his acceptance in your lives. May your children grow up strong. May they know God from an early age. May they influence their friends, and may their children know God for generations to come. All right. All right. Oh, yeah. Let's leave a little time for ministry. So, here's what I want to ask. If you feel that somehow maybe a lack of direction in your life is because maybe no one has ever told you what your purpose is, what your destiny is, who you're meant to be. Maybe you've never had a father or a mother who was able to see those things in you and call them forth. In fact, maybe you had the opposite, a parent who would tell you how you're never going to do anything good. If that's the case, and you want a little bit of blessing to kind of cancel that out, let me just invite you to stand, and then we're going to...